MBA Admissions podcast. Glad to have you, Graham. Before we launch into things, what's the weather like in Paris? I'm not sure everyone knows that we are a global company and that you are based in Paris. I'm here in Philadelphia.
Well, I would say that finally spring has kind of sprung. It's been very rainy here, and so today's the first sunny day in maybe a week. And I would say I'm excited about that, except that it looks like the next 3 or 4 days are going to be rainy and cold again. So, but today is a good day because it seems appropriate that the sunshine should arrive on the very first day of baseball season, which is the one the one thing that I miss most while being located here in Paris.
Yeah, Graham's a big Philly fan. And you you reconvene with the Fanatic whenever you're in town.
Yes, we have meetings.
Nice. I loved that time that you came to a game and you got a picture with the Fanatic for your son. I know that went over well.
Yes, that's actually a ridiculous story in which my son demanded that I take his stuffed animal that he sleeps with around with me on one of my business trips. And it ended up with me at a baseball game. I saw the Fanatic and I thought, wow, this would be really interesting to try to convince the Fanatic to take a picture, which he did, with the stuffed animal. And I think my son still to this day is very confused by all of this, but was pretty delighted too at the same time. So.
And your wife was pretty impressed, as she should have been.
Yes, yes. I won lots of parenting points there.
Nice. Well, welcome back for another episode. This week, we are going to focus in on round three, which, so to start, we should be upfront and tell you that some round three deadlines have already passed. So if you are thinking of applying to round three at Stern or Ross or Fuqua or Wharton, it's too late, and our advice is not going to serve you. But there's still lots of schools ahead. We've got Harvard, Georgetown, Chicago Booth, Darden, Macomb, Stanford, Tuck, Haas, Johnson, LBS, and that's just next week, and then a whole slew even later in April. So plenty of reason to still listen up if you are on the fence about whether or not you should apply in round three. So to start, round three kind of gets a bad rap. Maybe that's not the way to put it, but I think there is conventional wisdom that suggests that most strong applicants to top-tier business school programs shouldn't really be targeting round three. They should have gotten their stuff in round one and round two. Can you speak to that? How true is that? What are some of the things that lead to that thinking?
Sure. Yeah. Round three gets a bad rap because, you know, in theory, there are fewer spots remaining in the incoming class. By the time round three rolls around, schools have already admitted a number of students in the first two rounds. And, you know, the acceptance rates in round three are typically quite different from the earlier rounds, much lower. The other thing that is worth thinking about is that there's often less scholarship dollars available for schools to distribute. So again, because they're doling out scholarship dollars in the first two rounds, and there are many more applicants in those rounds, so they, you know, get lower down in the pool of dollars they have to distribute. And then a final concern, which, you know, I think really varies depending on the candidate's location, is the whole sort of visa situation. So, you know, some people talk about how, gosh, if you don't get accepted until the very late spring and figure out, you know, where you're going to go until June or something, you have a very limited time to kind of go through the visa process. With that said, again, it's sort of country specific. You know, I think there's certain countries for which it's probably easier to get a visa than others. And also, I think it's school specific as well. You know, we've heard admissions directors at top schools like Ross and Yale speak to the fact that they don't hesitate to admit international candidates in the final round, and that they work with them to figure out the visa thing and don't want that to kind of get in the way. But traditionally, the main issue is that most candidates who are very serious about business school are gearing up and applying in the first and second round. And again, just fewer spots remain by the time we get to the spring here.
I have heard and read much the same, but I haven't found a school yet who says they don't accept students in round three. And in fact, many of them go out of their way to say they get some of their best and brightest in round three. MIT Sloan didn't have a round three until a couple years ago, and they in fact added it because they felt like they were missing out on applicants who, for whatever reason, weren't ready to apply until round three. And the kinds of reasons they cited were maybe their company got sold, or maybe there was some personal change that made it made sense to apply in round three, and they've continued to have a round three because they do get great candidates that they're really happy to add to their class. Ross also stresses that they absolutely save places in round three because they know they're going to get great candidates. And Bruce Delmonico at Yale SOM recently took to his blog to say that for sure there are spots available. So if you're worried that there just aren't any spots available in round three, we've kind of got an unequivocal no, there are spots available. What are some cases when it really makes a lot of sense to apply in round three?
Yeah, so I think maybe later in the podcast we can actually kind of return to the, you know, kind of this phenomenon of several schools, in particular this year, taking to their blogs or sites and making very public statements about there being spots in round three. In the meantime, as to your question, there are instances where it does make sense to apply in round three. And I think, as you alluded to, sometimes that's when you could submit your strongest application. You know, as you said, maybe something big has happened in your career or personal life where it just, you know, has only kind of sort of dawned on you that now is the time for the MBA, or you really only had the time to kind of pursue it as of, you know, February or something of this year when most of those round two deadlines would have passed. And so, you know, if you think you can put your best foot forward and submit a strong application in round three, then, you know, it can be fine. I do think, you know, just knowing that there are fewer spots, you have to kind of keep in mind the odds are a bit lower. But there can be, you know, just sort of the timing issue. Some people just, you know, aren't ready until it happens to be round three. There are a few other reasons too, though. I think that some candidates may have found that they applied to a couple of schools across the first two rounds and that they're batting 1,000. You know, they're getting in everywhere they've applied. And there are several other reasons that you might consider an application in the third round. And one of those reasons is that you've applied to perhaps a couple of schools in rounds one and two, and you've been batting 1,000. You've gotten in everywhere that you've applied. And what we say around the office at ClearAdmit is that, you know, if you apply to a set of schools and you get in everywhere, you probably didn't aim high enough in most instances. And so what happens is you see some candidates throwing a bit of a, you know, kind of a just taking a flyer on a school that's, you know, more highly ranked than the schools that they've already been admitted to. So you do see some people, you know, tempting an HBS application in the final round, which, you know, again, the odds are slim. But if you've been getting in everywhere, there could be this sort of interest in trying to, quote, trade up. So,
and what do you have to lose, especially right. Since you are in the application process, you've probably completed much of an application already.
Right. So in addition to the trading up phenomena, we also see what I would guess I would call the Hail Mary or last ditch effort. And that would apply to people who didn't get in anywhere despite, you know, applying to a handful of schools earlier in the season. And, you know, the idea is that let's just, you know, see if you really want to attend business school in the fall, you may want to add a couple of schools into the you know, throw your hat in the ring at a couple of additional schools in the final round and see if you can gain admission. The argument in favor of that, by the way, is that, you know, you're kind of already in application mode. And further, your application should probably be stronger. We always find that, you know, the final application you produce is usually the best because you get better and better at the process of producing essays and getting everything together. So, yeah, that argument that you're kind of already in process, much as someone looking to trade up would be, is a strong one. You know, so that can be another reason for a round three application.
And I just wanted to add a little bit to some of the points that you've made here in terms of point one, that you should apply in round three if that is when, for any number of reasons, you can submit your strongest application, be it a promotion at work or you were drowning in work responsibilities and missed the round two deadlines but now can fully commit. A Ross ADCOM committee member in a February webinar that school hosted about round three said a great application in round three will beat an okay application in round one or round two, hands down. So again, if you've got a great application in round three, go for it. And Donna Levinson at MIT Sloan pointed out that, yes, round three has their smallest pool of applicants, but that also means it's a great opportunity for a strong candidate to really stand out. So sort of more encouragement if you have your strongest application ready and it happens to be round three to go ahead. What about candidates who are worried that if they apply in round three and don't get in, they've somehow hurt their chances for reapplying in the next application season? Can you speak to that some?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, generally speaking, that's not true. Schools don't typically penalize reapplicants. And in fact, in many cases, they look upon them favorably. I believe we ran an article several years ago about how the acceptance rates for people who are reapplying to business school typically trend higher than the general acceptance rate for the applicant pool at large. So there's this, you know, general feeling that if you've gone through the process once, the second time around, you know, you're going to be stronger, you know what you need to do. And frankly, if you've submitted a decent application, I feel like you're sort of, you have this chance to kind of build some rapport with the school, particularly if you interview or you end up waitlisted when you apply in round three. You know, there's this kind of connection that exists that you can then, you know, kind of play off of when you reapply, and it shows kind of grit and determination. So yeah, there's no real negative. The only caveat I would add is that if you're not ready and you're just going to throw together a really sloppy application that just looks awful or something, then yeah, you don't want to be the candidate who, when you reapply, the committee says, oh God, it's this person again. You know, like, can you remember how ridiculous that application was last year? You know, so you don't want to submit something that's just bad in round three. But generally speaking, if you, you know, put a good effort in and submit a quality application, it's not going to hurt your chances if you ultimately have to reapply.
And here again, referring to a recent blog post from Bruce Delmonico at Yale School of Management, his thought was that there is no disadvantage to reapplying, and that they view their reapplicants in exactly the same way they do their first-time applicants. He even suggested that round three can be a test run for your next application without any negative consequences. I would agree with you, Graham, that, yeah, you don't throw in something sloppy, but if you put some effort into it, you're serious about it, then the responses that you get in round three, if they are not come and join our class, can really help you shape a really strong application for the next application season. And Bruce at Yale went so far as to say that he and his team even provide feedback over the summer to candidates who haven't been successful for whatever reason. So you've got time to strengthen it. You've got perhaps even school-specific insight on what they're looking for. And it kind of, you know, it does seem like a good opportunity. Now,
agreed. Yeah.
Here's something else I did. I came across in a little bit of research I was doing. There's some who are suggesting that round three makes sense for candidates whose GPA and GMAT scores might be a little lower than average, still competitive, but not the top of the top, and that there might even be advantages to applying in round three there, because a lot of the schools who are looking to get high GPA and GMAT averages have gotten those scores in rounds one and round two and are not quite as focused on those scores in round three. Do you agree with that? Is that something that you've heard?
I actually don't really agree with that. That sounds like something an admissions consultant might say to get people to like sort of work with them 2 years in a row. You know, you have low scores, you apply in round three.
Gotcha. Yeah, like I hadn't seen it elsewhere, but I wanted to at least ask you, the expert. So
I mean, my view on this is that if anything, from my experience in admissions at Wharton, if anything, by the time the third round came around, we were trying to kind of fine tune the class. And to some extent, that meant, you know, looking at average GPAs and GMATs. And if we were a hair south of the prior year or, you know, didn't hit some sort of target that we wanted, that would have meant, you know, moving, you know, trying to move up with the final round. So
Right. You'd be less willing to,
Right. And I think most schools are probably less flexible by the time because they know what their averages are and they probably don't want to move down from them. So I think it's actually not a great round. Whereas I feel like in the first round, there's some flexibility because an admissions officer says, yes, this person's numbers are not really meeting what we need, but you know, but this is a really interesting candidate. I want to make room for them, and it'll even out. We'll get some big numbers later on. And I think there's just less flexibility by the time we get to the third round. So I generally just disagree with that theory that's out there that you cited. So yeah, I'll disagree.
It does seem like more and more AgCom directors are taking to their blogs and saying, hey, don't forget, you can apply in round three. Are you also seeing this as an uptick from years past? And what might be the reasoning if so?
Yeah, I have to admit, I know that, you know, there has long been a tradition of schools saying, look, we have three rounds. We encourage you to apply in the first or second. But we certainly do take some people in the final round. But I would say in the heyday of kind of, you know, and there are these ups and downs in application volume with respect to business school admissions. But in the heyday where, you know, a few years back when volume was incredibly high post-financial crisis, you know, there's a lot of sort of articles out there about how, you know, gosh, if you're applying to a top school in the final round, you're kind of toast, you know. And so to hear so many schools this year saying, hey, you know, we're still open for business in round three, makes me feel like we're probably going to see flat or maybe even some negative trends with respect to application volume at some of the top schools. And I think that's, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with you know, people's view of the MBA or the value of the degree. I think if anything, it just has a lot to do with the state of the economy and the job market, certainly in the West. I mean, just, you know, unemployment rates are really low. And the MBA typically does run kind of countercyclical. You know, the volume in applications typically goes up when the economy is not so great because people view it as a place to go to get better skills, to be more attractive in the workforce, or potentially to kind of ride out a recession. So I think that, you know, my suspicion is that when the dust settles on the 2017-2018 admission cycle, we will probably see flat or down volume at some of the top MBA programs.
Which would suggest that these admissions directors are really keen to get more great applicants in round three.
Right.
That they might not have seen sooner.
Yeah, and it presents an opportunity. I think if you are a candidate who is listening to this podcast and saying, gosh, I really would like to go to business school this fall. Too bad I didn't get my act together earlier. I might say, you know what? There's still time. And, you know, some of these schools have like mid-April deadlines. And so you still have some time to put something together and get it in. And this might be a better year than most to try that.
Really interesting insights. So say that you fall into that camp, you decide, okay, I am ready to apply in round three. What are some of the things that you need to keep in mind? You need to be ready to go to school in the fall if you apply in round three, right?
Yeah, in theory, you really want to be, if you're going to apply in the third round, then you should absolutely be prepared to attend. I mean, obviously schools do in some cases grant deferrals, but you know, typically, if you're applying this late, they're going to assume that you're ready to come. And deferrals are not very common. I mean, they're usually for extenuating circumstances, you know, involving like a personal matter. So, yeah, you need to be prepared to go. I think if you're international, you need to be prepared to kind of act fast when it comes to the visa application process. But again, you know, most schools are saying they'll work with you to make it happen. You do need to think about the fact that scholarship dollars may be a little bit light in the final round, light to kind of non-existent potentially. So you need to, you know, just know that that's a factor. Obviously, you'll still be able to take out loans and all those things. That's not impacted in any big way, you know, by the timing of your application. And the last thing I would say is, you know, you got to be ready to return to your recommenders. So if you've already applied in an earlier round or something and you're throwing in some additional applications in the third round, the one wild card is, you know, can you get your recommenders back off the bench to, you know, come out and go to bat for you? So that's just something to keep in mind as well. Now, in theory, if they have already written for you, they have material that they can mine and make it happen. So those are some of the things I would say that you have to keep in mind if you're applying in the third round.
So many business schools offer an optional essay where you can explain something that's not otherwise covered elsewhere in your application. Is this a good place to explain why you've chosen to apply in round three? And when does that make sense? When doesn't that make sense? I'm assuming that maybe if you didn't get in anywhere else and you're, it's your Hail Mary, maybe you don't put that in bold letters in your optional essay. But are there other circumstances where it would really help the AdCom to understand why it is you chose round three?
Yeah, I mean, I think let's say you're an entrepreneur and you were busy in the fall and early winter selling your business or something, and there was no way you could have carved out time to apply to business school. And then, you know, on the back of that, you realize, gosh, I really want to do an MBA before I make my next kind of career move. That would be a good thing to talk about. Similarly, if, you know, something's happened in your professional life that's led you to, you know, the realization that management education is for you, and it didn't happen until, you know, round two had passed, then I think it would be worth mentioning that as well. I also think that even in the case of a kind of Hail Mary where you've been rejected in the earlier rounds, you might want to indicate not that you were rejected, but that you learned about this school in particular rather late in the season here, and you recognize, you know, it's not ideal to be applying, but you were just so taken by what the school has on offer that you wanted to apply. And you would not mention, I've already applied to A, B, and C and didn't get in or anything. You would just kind of take it as, you know, you just, this is the school you're applying to, you're only talking about them, right? But you might want to let them know that, I don't know, a chance interaction with a current student or an alum, you know, led you to their program, and you recognize it's late in the game, but you're really excited about it and would love to join the class. So I think using that optional essay to sort of explain is a good idea. As a lot of admissions officers say, frequently, it's sort of best to not leave the admissions committee guessing, right? You want to be able to provide the backstory, right? So that they're not kind of scratching their head saying, well, this is a good application, but why on earth is it here so late in the season or something, right? So you definitely better to not leave them guessing. You don't want them to connect the dots for you, you know? So that's my advice there.
I wanted to add a couple things HBS specific. So I did scour the blogs, and Chad Losey, who leads admissions for Harvard Business School, was very terse talking about round three. All he said was round three is coming up and it's your last chance to apply. He didn't encourage would be too strong a word. He informed. But his predecessor, Dee Leopold, who held the role for a long time, did suggest that round three is a particularly valuable time for college students who are applying to Harvard Business School's deferred admissions program, the 2+2 program. Round three is really good for them because they will be able, it goes back to being able to present your best application, and those college students will have more more college under their belt to showcase in the application. So if you are considering the 2+2 program at HBS as a college student, there are some potential advantages to applying in round three. Lastly, about Harvard, unlike some other schools, they state very clearly that the need-based financial aid that is available to students is equal to all students regardless of round. So if you're hoping to get need-based financial aid from Harvard Business School, you do not need to worry that applying in round three will leave less of that funding available to you. And then I had one final question. So should targeting round three become a strategy in and of itself, as in, excuse me, you've got Bruce Delmonico at Yale saying there are no disadvantages and several advantages, and use it as a test run, and we're open to reapplicants, and we might even give you feedback over the summer. Should more applicants start thinking of the MBA application process as beginning earlier, like a year and a half before they want to go to school, so that they bake in the test run of round three?
I would say no. I mean, I think that that's not to take away from what Bruce says at Yale. I mean, I think, you know, if you arrive at the decision to pursue the MBA and it happens to be round three, by all means apply and know that, look, worst case, it's kind of a test run and they're not going to hold it against you. But I would not say that you should sort of bake that into your overall strategy and start, you know, applying to like all the top schools in round three with the real intention of then reapplying in round one the following season. It seems like a sort of strange way to go about it. The other thing I would argue is that it can be difficult to show much progress or kind of changes in your candidacy if you're going from, say, a third round application this year to a first round application in the fall, which is like, you know, literally kind of like a 6 month time frame. And so, you know, it's just hard to show like a lot of growth at work or any big changes, save maybe a test score or something, right? So I do not think it makes sense to drag this process out longer. Again, I think, you know, if the timing happens to line up that, you know, when you realize you want the MBA, it's round three, or when you look at your round one results, you realize you want to trade up or throw a Hail Mary, fine. But I would not design a kind of 18-month strategy that involves, as a first step, throwing in some apps in the third round of a cycle before you start the next season.
Right. And then adding to that, because most programs change up their applications from year to year, it's not going to be, you're frequently going to be writing all new essays and you're doubling your work.
Right.
So, yeah, we're not actually recommending that as a strategy.
No.
Is there anything else you want to add on round three?
I mean, the thing that I'm most curious to see this year will be, again, when the dust settles, what's application volume looking like this year? We've seen, you know, some indications that app volume may be down at some of the leading schools. And, you know, we also see kind of declines in volume from like the U.S. market and the Western European market when it comes to like GMAT test takers. And so I think we'll see what happens, but I'll be curious to see the numbers on application volume. The other thing I would add in that we didn't really touch on is that round three can be easier for some candidates than others. So for example, if you belong to a really overrepresented group in the applicant pool, let's say Indian male engineers working in IT or something, you know, chances are by the time we get to the final round and an admissions committee's meeting and trying to build a class, they may have already had kind of the pick of the litter from that kind of demographic. And again, schools are trying to build the most diverse, balanced class they can. Whereas if you are the, you know, off-Broadway theater manager or something, you know, doing something in the arts or some sort of non-traditional thing that's going to be less common, you might be able to, you know, secure a spot without nearly as much trouble, right? And so I think it's just important to remember that as well, that round three is probably not a great strategy for someone who is kind of overrepresented. So your consultants, I don't know, white guys in New York, Indian IT guys. I mean, there are a lot of groups that we know are quite abundant in the MBA applicant pool. And so, yeah, I would say you probably, you know, if you're doing Peace Corps work somewhere in Africa and, you know, you didn't have an internet connection until March when the round three application deadlines were coming up and there was no way you could have applied earlier, by all means apply, because you're probably really underrepresented in the pool and schools will make room for someone that's going to fill out a certain, you know, kind of niche in the applicant pool. So that's the only thing I would wanted to add as we kind of conclude here.
You're saying that reminds me of a student I spoke with this year who I'm not going to remember it completely, but she was deployed. She was an active military person and she was at sea and couldn't get the round two deadlines in. And so she came back and I think she would fall into exactly the category that you're talking about, that here is a strong candidate who will only further diversify the class. And that's going to stand out to admissions directors in a round three consideration.
Yeah, that's a great point. I neglected to mention, like, military definitely falls into this category of having a bit more leeway because, yeah, if you're deployed in like Afghanistan or somewhere, you know, the schools are pretty understanding that you kind of apply when you can, and sometimes when you can is at the end, right? So absolutely, that's a good piece of advice too.
So just to sum up, round three myths are that schools don't actually enroll round three applicants, and that's categorically false. They do. Many of them save spaces because they have a track record of finding some of their best and brightest in that round. Many schools say there's plenty of time to go through the visa application process, so don't necessarily be dissuaded if you're an international applicant. You should check with the school that you're targeting, as well as any specific timelines regarding visa applications based on the country where you're trying to come from, but don't rule it out off the bat. Do recognize that there may be limited or no financial aid options given the time of the season. Don't use it as a time to sort of throw up anything. Be sure to have a solid application that's going in round three. Mm-hmm. But if you're not admitted, don't feel like that is going to work against you when you try to apply again in the fall, and feel encouraged that many schools do look quite favorably on serious reapplicants and, you know, give you credit for your resiliency and your grit.
Yeah, and I would say, one thing to underline there is that there is financial aid available. There's just less scholarship money, right? So right. I think, yeah, just to be clear, people can still take government loans. And I think the deadline for that is not until June or beyond, right? So yeah, just to be clear, but the scholarship dollars definitely start to get thinner, with the exception of maybe HBS, which kind of has, you know, the need-based aid, and they save it for every round. So
terrific. Well, if you found this episode interesting, I'm going to run through really quickly in the week ahead. So beginning April 2nd, there are several round three deadlines. They include Harvard, McDonough's, Georgetown, Chicago Booth, Darden, McCombs, Stanford, Tuck, Haas, Johnson, and LBS. And then the week of April 9th, you've got MIT Sloan, Kellogg, Anderson, and INSEAD. And then on April 18th, you have Yale SOM. So there is still time to apply in round three for any of those schools. And if you want to hear more straight from the schools themselves, I would urge you to check out, even though the Michigan round three deadline has passed, there's still some round three generic information that's valuable in a YouTube video they have called Michigan Ross Round Three Ready. And check out Bruce Delmonico's admissions director blog at Yale SOM, as well as MIT Sloan's Donna Levinson's blog, where they give you their own opinion on the topic. So if you are preparing a round three application, make it the best it can be, and good luck. Thanks, Graham, for joining and for all your insights.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jeanette.
Talk to you next time.